You're under 30 days, and another year is going to have passed. Less than 30 days from now, another year. Here's my question. Have you taken the time to consider over this last year everything God has done in your life? We're in a series called Behold, and the idea is that we're slowing down. And so for the next few moments, we want to do exactly that as a faith family with you this morning. I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to invite you to greet your neighbor. Then we're going to take a seat, and here's what's going to happen. We're going to spend about 15 minutes doing nothing but recounting everything God has done through Four Points Church over this last year. Then I'm going to give you a chance in reflection to thank God for the ways that you perhaps have already forgotten Him moving and doing incredible things in your life over this past year, and we're going to sing again. That's why the band's going to stay up here and stare at you awkwardly. They're praying I don't get on one and really start preaching. Then after that, we want to look ahead, because in less than 30 days from now, we're going to be in a new year. And we believe that in faith, it's going to be an incredible year with what God's going to do in your lives, in our community, and through Four Points Church. So that's where we're heading today. It's going to be a unique service. I'm so excited to do it with you and to watch what God does as we thank Him for everything that He's done. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for the fact that You are, according to Scripture, faithful from one generation to the next. That the way You were God to the people that came before us is the way that we can have faith that You'll be God in our midst. You don't change. Circumstances change. Challenges change. People rise and fall in authority. Governments rise and fall. But God, You have reigned and You have remained the same throughout all of history. And in it, You have given us this incredible hope, a story we celebrate where Your Son stepped into that history and made right what had gone so wrong. And we now, though it's dimly lit, we look ahead and see that You're at work bringing a kingdom that is coming, and Your will is being done through His name that will ultimately lead in a coronation of a kingdom that will come and establish a new heaven and a new earth and an eternal reign. And we are awaiting that day, desiring by the Spirit to be found faithful when that day comes. And so, Lord, we look to everything You've done and we say thank You. And then we, in the same breath, look ahead with faith and expectancy that You'll continue to be faithful to us. We love You. We thank You for all You've done. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Would you welcome your neighbor? Let them know you're glad they're here. Absolutely love the Psalms. The 100th Psalm is where I want to turn our attention to in the first part of this service today. It's only 5 verses long. I would encourage you to commit it to memory. I think it could give you a lot of benefit if you were to put this Psalm to memory in your spirit. There's going to be times where you're discouraged. There's going to be times where you're tempted to think that God isn't able or active in your life. You're going to have a dark night of the soul. Dave Ramsey, just from a statistical standpoint, tells us that more than likely in the next 5 years, you're going to have a negative financial event. And with all of the negativity and all the bad things in our life, we have been called to be a people of praise. In Psalm 100, we get this psalm of thanksgiving. It says this: make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Make noise. Be exuberant in praise. I want you to think about the things that cause you to make noise. The things that call you to, I can't contain my words. You burst in excitement. Whenever I think about that first verse, I think about my cousin Jesse. It was 1987, Christmas. I'm too young to remember it, but they had just come out with VHS tapes, and my dad recorded every second of Christmas. Y'all remember that? Anybody got VHS tapes of their family from back in the day? Yeah, amen, amen. And he was recording every ounce of Christmas that year, and all my cousin wanted for Christmas was a Rainbow Bright. Does anybody remember the peril, the love, the joy of Rainbow Bright? This was bigger than Teddy Rupskin. It was bigger than a Furby. It was bigger than Tickle Me Elmo. I'm just trying to go through some of the things that cause people to lose their mind and Christmases that are more recent. She wanted one, and they were so hard to find. And my Aunt Kim had, like, driven all over the upstate of South Carolina looking for the last Rainbow Bright. She bought one, and on Christmas morning, Jessie woke up, and she didn't get one from her parents. She hadn't gotten one all day. She thought it just wasn't going to happen for her. And she ripped open at the tender age of, like, 5 or 6, that Rainbow Bright, and just in giddiness began to exude joy, screaming, "It's Rainbow Bright! It's Rainbow Bright! Thank you, Kim! Thank you, Kim! I love my Rainbow Bright!" When's the last time you were that joyful over something the Lord did in your life? You see, you make noise about what you're joy-filled about. Many of us are silent because there's not a lot of joy for what the Lord has done in our life. So what's the call? Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness, not begrudgingly, not because you have to, not because your pastor told you to, not because the church needs volunteers. My life is in the path of a suffering servant, and it is my joy to take up my cross daily and follow that suffering servant. Mark 10:45 reminds us that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So it's my joy to be a servant instead of being the one that is served. To live a life in that path that makes it about him and others before myself. So I serve the Lord, not begrudgingly, but with gladness. Come into his presence with... See, some of y'all need a little bit more Buddy the Elf in you. You need a little bit more singing in you. Eruption in song. My grandma, she couldn't help it. She had been through the Depression. She had grown up in a time of extreme poverty. She literally walked up the hill to school, sometimes with shoes that weren't on their feet and holes in them. My dad was the first person to graduate college in my entire family history. Still remember these stories of our family and the struggle that was there. My grandma would get in that hot kitchen with no AC because the window unit couldn't keep up with the southern summer heat. And she'd start praising God and cooking them lima beans and them pinto beans and some other variation of a bean, because when you didn't have much, you had beans. And if you got a little bit, you throw some bacon in them beans. Anybody remember? I'm preaching about my childhood. I don't know if this was your experience or not, but if it was a good day, if there was bacon in the bean. And she couldn't help but singing about the goodness of the Lord. And a lot of the songs that I sing in my spirit, because some people are like, "You just burst out in song when you preach." I do it all the time because I had a grandma that modeled for me this very text. You come into the presence of the Lord with singing. She'd come singing. Singing in her kitchen. Singing in her church. Singing in her car. Singing in Belk's department store in the middle of a Black Friday weekend of people being selfish. She came singing. Text goes on to this. I'm not supposed to be preaching this hard. Verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. Know it. We're not dealing in speculation. You're not an abandoned people. We're not a wishful thinking people. We are an expectant people who have the track record of God that has been given to us in the counsel of scriptures, so that we can trust in the fact that when we pray, we're not praying to a fairy in the sky. We're praying to the God who is almighty, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the God who is able, the I am. Know that he is the Lord, that he is God, and is he who has made us. We are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Therefore, verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Here's the idea. Here's the idea. The most undertaught spiritual discipline in the Christian church today is the spiritual discipline of remembering. We do not teach you that you need to, before you react, remember. But one of the most consistent calls in the Old Testament, one of the consistent calls against Israel, is that they forget what God has done. How many of you come in here trembling in fear of what you face because you forgot to remind yourself of the God whose presence you're in? How many of you have this year forgotten more miracles than many experienced in their entire lifetime? You see, you and I are called to the consistent spiritual discipline of remembering God. Remember who you're dealing with. Remember who you're talking to. Remember whose face you live in front of. Remember who's empowered you. Remember who sustained you. Remember who's endured you. Remember whose presence has been given to you. Remember the blood that was shed for you. Remember the resurrection that speaks life over you. Remember that he is not done with you. Remember the promise that he'll never leave or forsake you. Remember that he will work it all for good according to his will and purpose and in his time. Remember. But often in church, we only look ahead and we never look back. Or if we do look back, we only look back to remember the tragedy, not the triumph. You see, for many of you, the only things you see in your rearview mirror is the tragedy. You don't see the triumph of God in it. And today, you need to remember not the failure, but the fact that you're still breathing in spite of the failure. Not that you came up short, but that God endured you and overcame your weakness in spite of you coming up short. We enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. We give thanks to him and we bless his name. For the Lord is, here's a statement you need to underline in your Bible, good. He can't be anything else. He's never short of it. He's never missed the mark of it. He's good. In all of his ways and in every season, he's good. Now I get that you've had, for some of you, a bad year, a bad decade, a bad upbringing. But in the goodness of God, no bad decade, no bad year, no bad starting point has the right, if you turn in faith to him, to define your eternity. It does not have the right to keep you from a Christless existence. He is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness is to all generations. All right, I'm going to stop preaching. We're going to celebrate and look back. Pastor Austin, come out here. Logan has done an incredible job. One of our incredible staff members that volunteer coordinates and keeps my life in order of recapping our year for us. Also, no one ever gives a shout out to this, and you probably don't care to know this, but we have a church software called Rock that tracks so much stuff for us as a church that allows us to give you reports that aren't a couple of Baptists in the back with clickers making up numbers. We can actually track this stuff. Let's go through.
Well, speaking of the Lord being good, I just think this is wonderful that we're going to take the time today to kind of look back at 2024, because, you know, I think sometimes as church members, you come in, you sit down, you sing, you listen to Pastor Rush preach, you go home, you do your thing, you come back. But to get a step back and look at everything that's happened, and this is a lot of information, and some of you are going to be like, wow, that's a lot of information. Oh, by the way, just a shameless plug. Be sure you scan that QR code because all these slides are right there and you can get them and take them home and print them out, put them on your refrigerator, whatever you want to do. I mean, Logan did such a good job. We need to frame these things. So we're really excited about it. So let's just jump right in here. We're starting about talking about Sunday morning services here. So we're doing a little bit of comparison so you can see our average attendance in 2024 is currently 628 on a Sunday morning. In 2023, it was 557. Wow. First-time guest, which is an incredible number for me, year to year, they're real close. We have had so far to date this year. That number will go up, hopefully, over the next couple of weeks. Speaking of the next couple of weeks.
What's up?
Do you know what's happening on December 22nd at 6 p.m. in Duncan, South Carolina?
Tell us, Austin.
We're having a Christmas service at the Fine Arts Center, folks. It's going to be incredible.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Huge choir.
Yeah. And
we're telling the story of a guy in our church. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to spoil it.
Spoil it.
We're telling the story of a guy named Wes Jackson in our church who God literally met him in his prison cell and has changed his entire life. And it's going to be probably one of the most hope-filled things. I don't know where you're at or what your life looks like, but you need to go and invite everyone that thinks there's no reason or no way that God would have anything to do with them, because Wes Jackson's got a story of how God reaches in unexpected places. I mean, look at that. Average attendance is up. First-time guests, over 650 first-time guests this year already, and we're moving up. Second-time guests, that's an important number. They came back at least one time.
Yep. We like those.
It took three sermons to get them out of here.
We had a pastor turn 40 this year.
Yeah.
Speaking of that Christmas service, when you leave today, we're going to hand you a pack of 5 invite cards. Please invite your friends, your family, your coworkers to the Fine Arts Center on the 22nd. Now, we're still doing church here Sunday morning, regular times, but that Sunday night, the 22nd, 14 days away. Let's see. We did a vow renewal. We have 58 people participate in that. And we really pushed hard into becoming a member of Four Points this year, and we had 199 people join Four Points.
Yeah, let's thank God for that.
And another plug, if becoming a member is your next step, then next Sunday right after church, we're having another membership class. Yeah. So you can sign up for that online. The next screen we talk about is discipleship, and this is like our groups and things like that, women's and men's events. 22 groups, that's incredible. When Pastor Russ got here, we had two groups, so we're way up on that. Adults in community group right now is 180. Kudos to y'all for getting involved and being in a community group. We track numbers in the church. We engaged in members. So engaged is a term we use if you're coming to Four Points. You're checking kids in. You're possibly giving. You're showing up. We call you engaged. And then if you've done the membership class, we call it members. But 694 members and engaged is the highest number we've ever had here at Four Points. And that number just continues to go up. So also on that chart shows baptisms, which... Wow, baptisms in 2024 and salvations really outdid themselves about double from the previous 2 years.
Man.
So that's just, let's give God praise for baptisms and salvations.
There's some random things here. I'll throw two quick things. One, I love the fact that we have a team of people that write birthday cards to everybody and send them out. We sent out 561 birthday cards this year to just celebrate your birthday with you. On top of that, I'll just encourage, this is the one admonishment here on this slide, we practice the one another's here. You get admonished here, you get encouraged here, maybe you get convicted here in the large gathering of the church, but it is in a group around a table where you look each other in the eye, where you break bread, you pray for each other. You walk through life circumstances together. I'm individually, I have a wife and three kids. They're awesome. They need and require, and I want to give a lot of time to being with them. So I have a few people that I pour into in our church in this capacity, and I encourage and want everyone to find a few that they do this with in this church. If you're disconnected from the church and you're not in a group, as a pastor, I lovingly say to you, that's why. If you tried a group and it didn't work out before, and you're like, well, it was weird. Well, here's the deal, Thunder. You dated more than one person likely before you got married, and you didn't quit whenever it went wrong. So if you're going to keep dating to get married until you find one and then complain about the one that you're married to, I don't want to hear complaints in the church house. And this is why people leave the church, and I'm okay with it, because you want me to blow baby powder on your behind for this excuse that you have for not getting into community. And I refuse to do it because it's a simple practice. We run group seasons 3 times a year. They come open, and we admonish you to get into a group. And then if you don't get into a group in 6 months from now, you're going, well, the preaching's good some of the time, average, and the worship's really good, and I love it, but I just feel disconnected. And look, I'll just be honest. If you've not been going to groups, it's like a horse going, I'm really thirsty, Russ. And I'm like, well, here's a trough of water. And it's like, well, I don't like that trough of water. You know the adage. And so in the upcoming year, there's two things I'm asking some of you to do in this room. One, some of you need to host a group. You can't find the group that has space for where you're at in life and for your stage of life. Well, what would happen if you stepped out and made space so that other people who are looking for it or don't even know they're looking for it could get into it? I'm just a proactive enough pastor to say, look, you get out of this what you put into it. And some of you don't engage in anything other than showing up once every 4 weeks, and then you expect to be connected and for it to be life-giving for you to be on mission. If you're off mission, don't expect the church's mission to somehow magically in 1 hour block of a month get you there. Are you tracking with me? There are people in this church who are facing things that you're facing, going through circumstances that are similar to your circumstances, who need community, and sometimes it just takes one person going, I'll make space and we'll figure it out. I'll make space and we'll figure it out. So I would encourage you, if you aren't in a group, get into one in the new year. If you are a part of a group, but man, you feel a leading to make space, you can always reach out to Casey Finn, and she would love to help you get trained and equipped so that you could get into a group. If you're mad at me, know this, I love you enough to tell you the truth. So don't like it, tough. You're not going to find me telling you what you want to hear. Like, you'll be fine, just put in that 1 hour a week, and you know, I can be everyone's friend, and everyone gets to be in Pastor Russ's small group. No, like two couples are in my group, that's it. You know why? because some people can't handle me being a follower of Jesus that needs to repent of his own sin and be prayed for and be their pastor. It's a tough call to be in that group. It's a tough call. Some are like, well, I volunteer as tribute. I'm sure a lot of people have said that. It's way less dazzling than you can imagine. I'm just going to be honest with you. The living room's small. We're packed in there. But it is what it is. Get into a group. Get into a group. I am not the Holy Spirit. I am not required to be in the room for the Lord to move. Just throwing that out there as a reminder. Next slide. Sorry.
Volunteers. So currently right now we have 256 volunteers, which has to be a world record. It obviously is a record for Four Points, but that's amazing. We couldn't do it without the volunteers here at Four Points. They make everything happen here. It's incredible.
Yeah, we did volunteer rallies this year, which is new. Yeah. Which is, if you've not been to one and you volunteer at the church, we get here early, we feed you breakfast, we play stupid games, we laugh, someone gets a Starbucks gift card, someone gets premium parking in front every week. I don't know if they're bold enough to use it, but
sometimes.
It's just an awesome time where we get excited. But volunteers have risen. We appreciate all of the work that Logan Bush has done this year in kind of helping our volunteer culture. So.
Next up is outreach, and we just threw a couple of things here on the outreach side of things that we've did. We served over 800 biscuits this year to teachers. We currently are at, it just went up three, we're at 117 children that we've sponsored this year for Christmas via awesome. Middle Tiger, North Carolina, or in the house here at Four Points. That's just awesome. You guys are amazing. Another big outreach we do is in the August, we help deliver, sort out, unbox, sweat 3,600 books at Abner Creek Elementary. And then we've done pizza and popsicles to every band and football team around. Seems like I don't even know how many
starting
popsicles.
Starting the season, yeah. It was
that
awesome.
It was a lot of popsicles.
I went into the Abner Creek thing. I took Luke because he was going to work. And, you know, he needs to train and needs to lift books. He's got to be strong. And he's moving like three books at a time. And I look over and there's this little girl that's got a stack of books that's over her head. We actually have a picture of it. And she's like walking like this. And I'm like, I need to intervene, but I don't think this is the moment. Like, she looks like she could take me. And she's carrying the books around. It was Matt Emmons' daughter. And she's just powerlifting like books. And I look at Luke and I'm like, really? So if you wanna humble your kids, bring them out to the outreaches. It's really great.
Yeah, and it's, in the outreach line here, we talk a little bit about our Storm Helene recovery assistance. So we sent a team to a search and rescue training. We cut down 89 trees for people. That's incredible. That's a lot of trees.
My hands still hurt. And my arms are still shaking.
Yeah, we did. We sent a team up for 3 days. For some effort and relief work that they did in North Carolina, Western North Carolina. A lot of chicken broth got donated to us, and so then in turn we tried to divvy that up all over Western North Carolina. We took 12 trips of things to Western North Carolina that you guys brought in or delivered here, and that was amazing. And we did a community meals at the Middle Tiger and down in Woodruff, and that was over 1,600 meals that we did back during Hurricane Helene.
Yeah, I got to celebrate two people here. Kurt yep. has been such a huge part of our disaster relief effort. He's right there.
Yes.
I've never been in more sketchy ministry situations than with Kurt, and I've lived to survive it, but we love you. We see Christ in you, Kurt. We're so proud of you. And then my cousin Teddy, as he's been called, became like the chef of the church and helped us get out about 1,600 meals off food trucks. And for all of you that served during Hurricane Helene, just so proud of you as a church for stepping up in so many ways and just meeting the needs of people that were within our community and beyond. It was an incredible time.
Right. Yeah. Next is Thanksgiving. We've touched on this last week, I think, but we, of course, fried 135 turkeys, served 875 meals, and there was 142 ish of you here serving. So we know there is at least 142. If you didn't check in, shame on you because you're not in that number. But that's how we know.
At Four Points, we put an emphasis on the part of the Great Commission that says go. And that's what that summation is. I called you to get into the action of getting into a group. And so, like, here's what you need to know. We do stuff. And we keep going. And we keep giving. And we keep going. And we keep giving. And that is a major character value of this church. We're not going to meet about it. We're going to go and do it. If we meet, it's a quick meeting, and then we figure out how to do it on the fly, usually, if I'm in charge of it, unless someone else slows it down and says, we need to actually consider some safety responsibilities and protocols here before we do this. We go and figure it out. I mean, last year, the improvement is that we didn't send our mission team to Baltimore. They did go to Baltimore, but we didn't send a mission team to Baltimore. They ended up in a crack house. So that's a win.
This was a win this year.
That happened last year.
And then the final thing we're going to talk about today under outreach is the back-to-school bash that we did this summer, or August. And so the number on here that just blows my mind is 43 haircuts. Can we? I mean, my goodness.
They
we gave 43
out.
Free haircuts. That was incredible. 112 volunteers. 237 book bags were given out. Just a great event. The community came together. We actually have people, I don't know if they're in here right now, but they have come back and are a part of Four Points Church because they got invited to the back-to-school bash. And you just never know what is going to be something that introduces someone to Four Points and the community here. And it's amazing.
I had someone the other day, he was talking about why he doesn't come to our church. He said this to me. Some people are bold. And he said, that church is too blue-collar. And I said, oh. I said, I appreciate that. Those are my people. And I said, here's the difference between the blue-collar church and what I've seen from some other churches. Some other churches that may not be as blue-collar, they do outreach. And it's so that they can give a charitable act to those that are less fortunate than them. But here's the good news. We actually want the people that are less fortunate to go to church with us. To come over to my house and have a meal with me. To come to my table and break bread at a small group with me. To serve on the ministry line. You know, this church is the first church ever to have someone that was given Christmas through Middle Tiger and then in turn turn around and buy Christmas for someone at Middle Tiger a few years later.
Yep.
Only one that they ever have had happen.
Yep.
And so here's what you need to know. When we do a back-to-school bash, when we hand out Thanksgiving meals, we actually want those people to become part of our church. They're not a mission that we bless and shame because of the state that they're in. No, we've been there. Many of us have been there. Many of us still are there, and we're serving in spite of it. And this is a space that's been created for those people to come and be a church for that. So look, we are a church for the misfits. We are a church for the least, the lost, and the broken. And unashamedly, yes, we have people that are blue collar. We have people that are generationally going through stuff in their life. And it's okay in this place for that to happen. This is not a country club, and I'm so sick and tired of people making church choices on the basis of everyone looks like me, everyone lives in the same gated neighborhood as me. Man, to kung fu pooey with that stuff. Let this be a place where it is uncomfortable. Let this be a place where it is diverse enough to where if it weren't for Jesus, you wouldn't be here. Let this be a place where you can actually see the kingdom of God, because in the last image, it's not divided by rich and poor or some ethnic breakdown. It's every tribe, every nation, every tongue around one throne. So why not now? Why not here? Enough with the country club church. Enough with it. I'm over it. Sorry. Move on.
That's all right. Well, you know, speaking of outreach, have I told you that we're doing a service at the Duncan District 5 Fine Arts Center on the 22nd of December?
When's that?
Yeah, the 22nd of December.
We
need you to go and invite all your friends and family. Just
one
more plug.
Come to church with us.
That's right. Come to church. Next up is missions. We have 4 missions partners right now currently that we're supporting. Let's see. We had some volunteers serving in Baltimore. Missions is very dear to Pastor Russ's heart. This year, we've given $71,724 to missions.
Yeah.
Let's see. Our kids ministry, we had 24 salvations, 27 baptisms. It's incredible. 24 children dedicated this year. We started a kids choir. Well, that might have been last year we started that. But yeah, we've been 48 kids in our kids choir. It's incredible. I used to do kids choir like 20 years ago. Whew, 48
kids.
Thank
God we've moved on from that.
48 kids. That's a lot. Average attendance in kids is 130. So right now there's a lot of kids over there.
And we bought a bounce house.
Yeah, we bought
one.
A bounce house. So we don't have to rent a bounce house every time we need to do something.
Praise
anymore.
The Lord.
So it's incredible. Student ministry has been just as amazing. They had 28 salvations, 22 baptisms. Look at this. Look at this right here. This is, I feel like I need to be on a TV show, but like, look at this number right here. Like, this was 2022, and then we're almost double in our kids ministry average on Wednesday nights. It's incredible. Look at that, 60 kids here for Thanksgiving. If you've not had dinner with 60 teenagers for Thanksgiving,
have you lived?
You need to maybe sign up to volunteer for the student ministry. But students at summer camp, 52, that's incredible. That's a big number.
Celebration to our kid team, to our U team. Pastor Joe got ordained this year as a pastor. Yep.
And then finally, we'll just briefly touch on our giving for this year. So you can see currently to date, we've taken in $742,000 into our general fund. Our average giving units continue to go up. That's a giving unit, if you don't know, is like a person or a family. So if you and your wife give together, that's one giving unit. So we would love for that number to keep going up, and it is. From 2022 to now, it's up a good little bit. The bottom number, there's one of my favorites. It's the total you guys have given this year to our Next Door campaign, and that's $258,000, which is just God.
It's great. It's been an incredible, incredible year. God has been so good to us. So here's what I want you to do. Take a breath. And now I want to give you just a second to reflect on what God's done in your life personally. How has he moved in your life? We collectively have this witness of what God has done through our church corporately. But in what ways have you this year seen God move? And I just wonder if there would be a rising up within your spirit to thank God for maybe something you've begun to overlook. Maybe something you prayed for, received, and complained about after you received it. Let's just take a second all across this room, and let's just let Thanksgiving break out. Come on. All right, take a seat really quick. We're going to look ahead for like 5 minutes. 5-minute preview on where we're going next. I know it's a broken up service. You're supposed to sing at the end and leave. And I'm messing with your routine. Your appetite was stirred. You're ready to go about getting about your day and just revel in the fact that the Clemson Tigers are in the college football playoff. But you didn't think I was going to be silent about it, right? No. Next year is going to be, we believe in faith, an incredible year for us as a church. If you've been paying attention to Next Door, dirt's been moving for a while now. And we're coming to some fun points in the journey. And so I cannot thank God enough for Zach Johnson. He's been, you've been very faithful to the house. You've loved this place longer than just about everybody has loved this place. You stayed with this place when it was pretty unlovely of a place to be, especially in a seat of leadership. And you served our church very faithfully as an elder. And I do see the providence and timing of God that he would take the degree you have from Clemson, the career you have that's brought you to Gray Engineering, and have you a part of this church in this season to get what he's doing done through us. And so I thank God for you, Zach. I'm grateful for you. Next 2 to 3 steps Next Door. What are we looking at? What's coming on the horizon?
So, Next Door, I guess you guys can see we're making some progress over there. And so we're currently putting in storm drainage. We'll soon be moving on to water lines, sewer lines, those types of things. And then you'll see some curb going down. And then after that, there'll be a little pause. And we're looking at starting vertical construction end of February, early March.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
If we can do that, we should be on schedule to be moving over there by Christmas next year.
Yeah, you want to talk about a great end of the year Thanksgiving service. Service one may be nothing but thanks to God in our new building. And so we've entitled this something. We're stepping out in faith here on it. It's called Live in 25. And we believe that next year, 2025, we're going to darken the door of a future home for our church where hopefully for the next generations to come, the gospel will continue to go forward. Pastors, missionaries will be trained, equipped, and sent. Marriages will be restored. Families that are broken will find wholeness. Salvation will come to the house of many and change generations. And we believe that all that's going to happen next door, and we believe that it's as soon as happening over there, next year at the end of the year in 25.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah.
So with that, The architects will actually be in town this week for us to look at some final touches on the building plan. We've got some interior renderings that we're going to show you and go through those.
Some incredible stuff. Got to point some stuff out on these. One, this is the front facade, and this is kind of one of the last ones, but I just want to talk about this brave woman who has high heels on and a bicycle, and she somehow got down 101 in a bicycle and high heels. So I don't know what your excuse for not coming to church has been, but if it's anything less than I had to put my heels on and ride a bike down 101, it's not good enough. That's a great joke. Anyway, continue. Sorry.
Yeah, so there's just another shot of the exterior.
Heels.
Yep.
Sorry. That's nothing to do with what's actually important. This is the kid wing over here on this side. You got the entrance. Our offices will be down the end. Auditorium back over in that corner. There is going to be a kid auditorium that can seat up to over, I think,
100 people.
100 in it. So we have a secondary auditorium that'll be in there. There's a lot of hope for that front facade area just to become a place of fellowship. People can hang out. Small groups can happen. You got the really cool lights, which means you can drink a coffee under it because it's, brim hat wearing kind of weather, space, setting, aesthetic, season, just making stuff up, keep going through these.
So there's a shot from in the lobby looking towards the kids' wing.
You'll have a roll-up garage door that'll be here on the kids' side that'll look through the whole kid auditorium that you can see.
Yep, there'll be 5 check-in kiosks for kids.
We're actually going to have a volunteer check-in space with lockers so that you can put your purse and belongings in it and it'd be secure. So if some of you are like, well, I don't have anywhere to put my purse, that's why I don't serve, eliminate it.
Yeah, and then these double doors will be secured, and everything behind that is the kids' wing. So everything will be secure.
So there'll be no coming into the building through a kid hall, walking randomly through the kid hall in the middle of the day or anything like that, which is going to be exciting.
All right, here's a shot of just one of the kids' classrooms.
It's got a partition wall so you can break it down if we have to expand in the future. We're putting some of those in, expecting that there will be an opportunity for growth, which is going to be exciting. Keep going.
Yep, so this is just in the kids' hallway there.
Dad telling his kid, don't you want to go in that room? See, he does wear shoes. That's what he's saying. They made sense, but I didn't get none. Keep going. There's the kid auditorium.
Yep, so here's the kids auditorium. It'll hold 100 students. And then there's also will be an exterior glass garage door to go out to the playground that's on the end of the building.
It's going to be great.
So here's walking in the front door, which you'd see first. Your kids is to your right. The auditorium is to your left.
Singles ministry leaders right here ready to meet. Sorry. Keep going. I'll keep doing it.
Yep. So there's one of the shots of the auditorium. Still looking at around 550-ish seats. And I think that's all the renderings we
have. Yeah. So here's what you need to know. We're really excited about the building that's going up next door. But that's not what defines and what's giving us the opportunity to be there. God has been moving in our midst. We continue to see God faithfully serve and rescue and heal and restore. And we're not waiting on the building, obviously, for more of that to happen. We believe that's going to continue in the next year. And so for a lot of you, you're guests. And if so, man, welcome to Four Points. We're excited that you chose this Sunday to hang out with us. This next part isn't for you. But for those of you that call Four Points your church home, we know that the challenge that is ahead of us is going to be great. And so we're, as leaders, coming before you because we, at the end of each year, as a leadership, whether we publicly broadcast this or not, we try to make margin to give extra to the church, to catalyst the works of ministry. And so a lot of people are like, well, I don't like when leadership talks about giving. Well, what you need to know about this leadership team is when we give that call, we go ahead of you. We don't call you to give and sit on the sidelines. We try to beat you in giving. We want to outdo you in generosity, and we want to set an example that's mimicable for you. And so we have a Live in 25 offering that we're going to be taking up over the next couple of weeks that goes to the ministries and the opportunities that are in the upcoming year for us. Zach, talk to us kind of about where you're at with that.
Yeah, as Pastor Russ said, the leadership of this church, both the staff, Pastor Russ, Pastor Austin, the elders. We know we've asked for a lot over the last year or so. And we keep coming to you asking to do this, to do that. We feel that too. But we just want you to know that when we come to ask you for something, we've already given ourselves. We believe in what we're asking for. And just as what we're doing next door is preparing the foundation right now for that building, this money that we'll get will continue to prepare our foundation to actually move over there. We've got to get that right. And we know that this year, this next 12 months is huge. Getting our systems in place, our people in place, and just getting everything ready to support that move. Because when we move, we know we'll see an increase. But we know that it could just come crumbling back down if we're not ready.
Yeah.
And so part of what we're asking for at the end of this year helps us get those things in place so that we're ready to move.
So we're inviting you to join us in prayer for next door. Asking God that he would give us favor in this next year as we literally build brick and mortar. But we're asking that you would pray about what God would have you set aside in your own budget this Christmas season, at the end of the year, that could go towards infusing a catalyst into the ministries of our church, helping us reach more that are in the category of least and lost and lonely, helping us in the upcoming year strengthen ministries that need help so that we can strengthen those ministries into a structure that can support bringing more people into disciple-making spaces in the upcoming years. And so there's a, I believe, an envelope. Maybe, did we get envelopes, Betus? Where's Betus? He's out in the lobby. There may or may not be an envelope. There's not one? Oh, there'll be one next week. We're giving you the envelopes next week so you have a week to actually pray about it. See, that was the plan. I remember it now. And so we'd love for you to pray. Look. Some of you are like, I don't want to give nothing. I hate when churches ask to give. Don't give anything. Sit on your money. That's fine. You don't have to give money to come here. This is not a country club, and we do not pay dues. We give offerings to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we declare him as King with our resource, time, money, energy, and everything that we have. That's what I'm inviting you to do. If you don't want to do that, it is genuinely okay. I'm not going to passive-aggressively like browbeat you. I won't even know. That's what's great about it. I have no clue what any of you get. If I did, I'd probably be upset with some of you right now. Thank God I don't. Amen? All right. See, no one wanted to amen that out loud. We genuinely love Jesus, and we love you. We love you. And we're so excited about the desire and belief of what Christ is going to do in and through your lives in the upcoming year. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for opening your hands and letting God work through you. We can't wait to see what God does next. Why don't I pray, and then we want to send you out on one of the big celebratory songs of the year, just to get you guys excited and to let all the Baptocostals be a little bit more costal. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for the ways in which we've seen you move, whether it's outreaches, whether it's decisions where people walk down front and surrender their life to Jesus, baptisms where people publicly professed you as their Lord, small groups where bread was broken and questions were asked, and we grew not only in our wisdom and knowledge of you, but God, we grew in a community of people that are pursuing you together. God, you've just been faithful. And we say thank you again and again and again for your faithfulness. And as we look ahead, Lord, we do pray that you would set us up in a position that in the coming year, we could be a part of even more fruitful ministry as your kingdom comes and your will is done on earth as it is in heaven. Our lives belong to you. We pray that you would make the name of Jesus famous through them. And it's in his name we pray. All God's people said, let's sing this song as we leave. Come on.